Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously. Hey, speaking of nothing, I just looking at your headphones and how silly they look with one off your ear. I asked Ryan, he was here last week, and I asked him how to make you hear good in your headphones. He said, I don't know.
That's wonderful.
So
yeah.
He's our best tech guy. So if he doesn't know.
I tried for about 20 minutes tonight Googling everything, and finally I found a setting in Windows that allows you to hear your own microphone in your headphones. I was like, fantastic. They don't tell you it's got like a 600 millisecond delay, something like that to it, to where totally useless. Feel like you're screaming yourself.
Not good for podcasting over live distance.
Not great. I mean, not great for apparently from the microphone to the computer back to the headphones is.
Yeah. It takes a while.
Yeah.
It's the power of PC, my friend.
Probably takes more time than it does for my voice to get to your headphones, quite frankly.
So PCs run internally on dial-up still. Mm-hmm. Like, they connect to fiber and everything on the outside, but on the inside, it's all dial-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all AOL. Gosh. It's a Wednesday. We're recording late because I was on Codenames. And I got to stop doing that
because I'm
so tired.
How'd you do?
Not as bad as I sometimes have done in the past.
Hey, there you go. Who are you with? Who's your partner?
I was with Noah Hawthorne.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I was with Noah last time, two times ago. We did real bad that day. Last time Noah and I were together, we did the worst. Mm-hmm. We didn't win a single thing. And this time we won some things.
Okay.
We still lost.
Mm-hmm.
But lost less bad.
That's fine. I mean, you're either going up against much weaker opponents, which Tim is probably smart enough to do, or you're getting better. Either way.
I don't think I'm getting better.
Well, then I think I know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim's got this little Excel sheet where he's like, and you get dropped down a few pegs, you're going to match up with a border collie and my grandmother next week.
I was a really smart border collie, though. Really smart border collie. Did I ever tell you that once I stayed in a cabin-style hotel situation in Branson next door to the granddaughter of Lassie?
Really?
Speaking of border collies, yeah, she was there to do like a show at Silver Dollar City.
Oh, okay. She didn't like have her own house next door or anything. Like
No. She, okay, yeah. Although she certainly could. She's earned it. No, she was just staying. She was slumming it up with us in the cabins.
Wow.
She was like one of the lowly folks.
Man.
Yeah. And they say never meet your heroes, but she was real great.
Well,
she was a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
unfortunately, you know what I heard? I mean, you probably shouldn't do too much research, but virulent racist. I don't know if you're. I like.
That's kind of dog, though.
I mean, yeah. So
you kind of expect it. You never want to look it up and see and confirm, but you just kind of, it's kind of baked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, living in that 50s high, fame is going to, that spotlight, it's going to, you know, it's going to do something to you. Oh, boy. Well, now we've got Lassie's racism out of the way and we're way past due. So, let's see. What do we have? Anything announcements? Do you have any announcements to make?
No, zero.
One of these days you should bring an announcement.
I should, but I feel like it would be a little pointless. I mean, there's nothing to announce.
I don't think so. I think people like to hear what's going on in your life.
Yeah, I don't know. There just isn't. There's not much. It's not much.
How's the Halloween episode coming along?
Oh, it is. Again, not much to announce.
Should we check the calendar here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we start counting in hours?
Because we're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
You're pretty close. 1 week and 1, 2, 3. 1 week and 5 days.
Okay. So I know what I'm doing this weekend then.
You are going to birthday parties and not doing research.
I'm procrastinating this episode because I don't have to do it until the following weekend.
Yeah, I think we're doing this on the 21st.
Cool.
So.
Oh, that's ages from now. Okay. Ages from now.
Just want to keep you updated.
Mm-hmm.
Also, speaking of things that happen in October, we're also running a special for Ghost Plus right now. If you've been wondering if it's worth the $6 a month and thinking probably not, that's first of all, that's hurtful. And second of all, We have a new special that you can try it for free for 7 days. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep that going through October 31st. So if you sign up for Ghost Plus anytime between now and Halloween, you can do a 7-day free trial, and mm-hmm. you can get all the content we've ever made mm-hmm. on there.
You can binge it all. We're not going to check.
Right into your ear hole.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to. No, of course not. No, and don't tell the people who are already subscribed because mm-hmm. they paid for all that. So don't let them know we're doing this for you.
We let you catch up for the whole year's worth of Ghost Plus content mm-hmm. in 7 days. You might have to take some time off work. Maybe ignore the kids a little bit. Give them a Lunchable. But we binge the whole thing.
Some you time. Some you time with us time. Mm-hmm. So you can go check that out at isthisaghost.com or at isthisaghost.supercast.com. All right. Well, let's get to our story.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
Andrew Jackson Borden.
Oh, you had me.
I bet there are some great Andrew Jackson ghost stories, though. I have to add that to the list. Andrew Jackson Borden was born in Fall River, Massachusetts on September 13th, 1822, which is also my dad's birthday.
He's old.
Not the 1822 part. Not the year.
Like your dad's, he's in pretty good shape, really.
Yeah. When you look at it that way, he's doing great. Andrew was of English and Welsh descent, mm-hmm. so his accent was unfathomable.
Then he had the Boston accent on top of that, and oh god,
it's a real mess. Real mess. He grew up in modest surroundings, and he struggled financially as a young man. He started working life as a carpenter. Now, the fact that Andrew had so little money may account for why he would later become somewhat famous for being, quote, an extraordinary tightwad.
When you're poor and you're famous for being cheap and poor, yeah, you're something.
You're a fun person.
You are a joy.
Yep. Andrew became, he was described as being maniacal about saving money, which is how all best friends refer mm-hmm. to good people. Mm-hmm. And according to author Arnold Brown, quote, thrift may be a virtue, but Andrew Borden made it a vice.
Mm.
Saving money became his obsession, and with it, a dread of ever falling into debt. He boasted that he had never signed a promissory note or borrowed a penny.
Mm.
So that's good. His balance sheet is very easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No liabilities.
Zeros the whole way down.
Yep. Just pretty nice. David Kent, who also wrote a book about Andrew and his family, said that Andrew's, quote, penurious thrift was practiced in 14-hour days of saving this, reselling that, and hoarding the other.
Penurious thrift?
Yes.
Okay. Appreciate the quick double check. Like, what the fuck did I say? Oh, I did say that.
Any further questions?
No, I mean, just what the hell penurious might mean.
I'll just Google penurious. Actually, let's ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
What does penurious thrift mean? The phrase penurious thrift combines two related concepts. Can you guess what they are? This is like every paper I get from all my college students. Merriam-Webster defines penurious thrift as
a combination of an adjective and a noun.
And that's why we don't do word counts anymore. Penurious means extremely poor or lacking in resources. It can also imply stinginess, which is also what thrift is, right?
Yeah. So thrifty thrift.
So thrifty thrifty. It's a thrifty thrifter. He would do great with Gen Z. They love thrifting. I have a rim shot here somewhere. Let's see. That's a good joke.
Where's the moaning? Just the moan one.
These aren't labeled.
Just press one.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Yeah.
All right. Nailed it. Okay, so anyway, so he was a ton of fun at parties, probably. Mm-hmm. Now, Andrew really channels his personality into his chosen profession when he becomes a coffin maker and undertaker.
Oh, man. Still such a cool job. Such a cool job.
You could still do it. You could do it today if you want.
I think most of those coffins nowadays are just like cranked out in a factory in Ohio somewhere. I don't think you really get to make them anymore.
But they don't have to be. You're a mechanical engineer. You could make a killer coffin. I bet you would make some amazing coffins. You could make coffins that jump the tracks.
This is true. Yeah. Make coffins with like climate controls on them.
Oh, man. Yep. Yes.
Oh, man. Grandpa loved having the AC cranked real, real low.
And now that he's in hell, we need it real cold in there. Absolutely. Here's another quote from one of these guys who wrote a book about him. It was rumored that he cut off the feet of corpses so that he could cram them into undersized coffins that he got cheap.
I've heard that before.
That's not new here.
No, this is.
No. Yeah. That's just good business sense.
Yeah. It's just penurious thrift
at its best. Sure is. Sure is. Penurious and injurious. So he started this business with a man named William M. Army. Is that right?
Yeah. Why not?
Sure.
Army's a last name.
But yeah. Yeah, it's the last name of our military.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And of, you know, famous Americans such as Dick Army.
Dick Army?
Dick Army, yeah.
Who's Dick Army?
I think he was a Chicago... No. I'm thinking of the Chicago weatherman whose name was Dick Storm, which to this day, there has never been a better weatherman name on the face of this earth.
If your last name is Storm and your first name is Richard, you have to go by Dick.
Absolutely. And if you're a weatherman and your first name is Richard, you got to change the last name. You got to change it to Storm.
You got to change it to Storm.
Maybe Tornado.
What's the big... isn't there an Amy Freeze who was a Chicago weather person?
Yes, Amy Freeze, Dick Storm.
Yeah. that's quite a combo.
Like slowly gathering the powers like a Captain Planet type team up.
Oh, man. They tried to get Tom Skilling to change his name to Tom Lightning, but he was not game. Fucking coward. Anyway, so where are we here? So, yes, his business partner, William Army, in 1845, they start this business. They do coffin making, undertaking, cabinetry, and real estate.
My grandpa died. I don't really know what to do with him, and I have to sell his house, which needs some updates. Well,
boy, you've come to the right place, friend.
Let me go get you several brochures from the back.
Now, even though Andrew was pretty much the worst, he still managed somehow to get married. He wed a woman named Sarah Anthony Morse. Together, he and Sarah had three daughters. So we got girl dad energy going on here. Mm-hmm. Three daughters. Emma Lenora is one. It's not two. That's right. Two names for
Emma,
one daughter.
Emma
Lenora.
Yep.
Alice Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't get the middle name. Do you want the middle name for the last daughter?
I need it, actually. I'm taking notes furiously. Okay.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Air notes. It's like you've set up your computer camera to do like one of the light photos.
Right. Yeah.
It's great. Takes three pictures every second. Okay, Emma Lenora.
That's
tough. Emma Lenora.
Mm-hmm. Alice and Esther.
Emma Lenora.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Esther. And Lizzie Andrew.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lizzie Andrew. Okay.
Lizzie Andrew.
All right.
Gave up the hope of having a son, I think, finally. So fuck it. I'll just name her Andrew. Lizzie Andrew. Now, Emma was the oldest daughter, born in 1851. Alice was born in 1856, but unfortunately would not live to see her second birthday. She died probably because of congenital hydrocephalus.
Ooh.
And her official death certificate lists cause of death as dropsy of the brain.
Oh.
That's not what you want to go on the record. Dropsy of the brain.
Oh, man.
Do you know what... hydrocephalus is?
I do not. I thought dropsy of the brain was like what happens in Young Frankenstein.
But whoops, dropsy. Hydrocephalus is a neurological disorder that occurs when too much cerebrospinal fluid builds up in the brain's ventricles.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, not quite as quaint as dropsy of the brain makes it sound. So that's very sad. She dies when she's not quite two. And then the third daughter, Lizzie, was born in 1860. But Sarah, the mom, her health had begun to decline with the development of uterine congestion.
Oh, man.
Which sounds if there's just...
one, if there's one thing I can relate to, it's uterine congestion.
This was something that caused sharp pains in the abdomen mm-hmm. and a pooling of blood in the veins, mm-hmm. which made the veins bulge. Circulation gets bad. You get deep vein thrombosis, blood clots, can't walk. And all centered in your uteral spaces, mm-hmm. which I sounds terrible always, but God, in 1860, they must have had no idea. Like, I don't know, we'll burn this chicken over it and see if that gets the vapors out. It's our only idea.
This is like the one time I actually do want you to take the blood out. This is the one time, the only time. Yeah, but you're a woman, so it's going to be tough to do with your all the seven layers of clothing and everything like that.
Oh, so she does die on March 26, 1863. Emma is 12 years old and Lizzie is 3 years old. And here, just thought you might be interested in seeing this, here's a picture of poor Sarah's gravestone.
Oh,
did I mention that Andrew was thrifty and didn't like to spend money?
Her gravestone is merely her initials, S-A-B.
That's on it. What appeared to be a brick.
Yeah, it looks like a cinder block.
That's it. Probably, so that sucks.
Probably stolen from an orphanage.
St. Anne's Brothel is where that came from. That was a cornerstone. Now it's pulling double duty. Oh, bam, poor Sarah. But, that's her lot. Anyway, so the girls are growing up now with Andrew as a single father. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're loving that. The frugality, of course, is a challenge. Andrew refused to put indoor plumbing in the house, even though it was very common at the time to have indoor plumbing. And they also were quite wealthy now. He doesn't spend any money and also mm-hmm. has a thriving business mm-hmm. that does real estate and undertaking.
He does have indoor plumbing at the mortuary though, right?
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. For him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every morning when he has to wake up and he has to do big potty, he, mm-hmm. he drives over to the mortuary and goes there in peace like a normal human. Mm-hmm.
Then sprays it down the drain and mm-hmm. Goes back to work.
We all have our favorite places to do with number two. anyway, so yeah, so he could easily afford it, but he refuses. He also refused to have his home connected to gas lines. Mm-hmm. So they used kerosene to light the home instead.
Hmm. Super safe.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, electricity was not yet commonly available, but telephones were, and Andrew refused to install one because he didn't see the point of the added expense. So pretty cool being a teenage girl in his house.
These girls are going to go on Rumspringa, and they don't even know what it is yet.
I will say, in his defense, when I was doing this research, I was remembering when my sister Emily was, I don't know, like 14, 15, and we had like a landline, you know, like one of the phones with like a mm-hmm. really long cords you could take all the way around the house. And there were several months where she was on that thing enough where I thought my dad was going to break a window when he got the phone bill. And he is not what I would consider a particularly violent man, but it was like hundreds of dollars from Emily's phone bill. So I get it. Mm-hmm. In the book Women Who Kill, author Ann Jones wrote that Andrew, quote, made money, lots of it, for the sake of making money. Yet, as a Christian, Andrew Borden knew that money could be the root of all evil if one took pleasure in money and used it as a source of enjoyment.
Mm. The definitely trick then, be enjoying it.
No, should ever enjoy money. Not.
No,
you should definitely do everything you can to get all of it, mm-hmm. but then not enjoy it. The trick then for good Christian capitalists was to make money, but to enjoy it not at all. And that skill Andrew Borden had perfected. It just seems exhausting. We're pretty rich because of this podcast.
Obviously, yeah.
And we have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
I mean, after this 7-day trial thing, I don't know. We might might need to cut back on a few things at home. But
yeah, that's true. Hey everyone, if you could subscribe to the podcast to Ghost Plus, Patrick's children, they haven't eaten in days.
Mm-hmm. They haven't washed their hair since March. It's just it's awful. No,
it's I can almost smell it through the computer, and they really need your help. And now we'll hit the Sarah McLachlan song. Mm-hmm. Boop. Pictures of your sad children in cages for some reason. And we should be good. All right. So Lizzie's childhood, not ideal. Also, oh, I make this, this is sort of a parenthetical. Not because it's not very important, but because there's not a lot of actual evidence of this thing, but it's worth certainly mm-hmm. mentioning. This is probably conjecture, maybe not. But anyway, some historians have suggested that Andrew may have sexually abused his daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, there's not like anything concrete really about that, but that may have happened. Regardless, fact that no one who writes about that has been willing to say like, oh, I studied Andrew Borden and it is mm-hmm. not something he's capable of.
Right.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So not great. Regardless, Lizzie had a pretty religious upbringing, much like you and your daughters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mirroring this a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. You don't have any fun, just like Andrew.
Exactly. Yeah. I make all the money from cutting people's feet off all day long. And
yeah. Some of those roller coasters seem like that could happen.
Just squirrel it away in the couch. That's all.
So she taught Sunday school to immigrants. She was the secretary treasurer of the Christian Endeavor Society. Sounds pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union.
Oh, man.
Hot. So there's no fun happening in this house at all. Now, 3 years after the death of Lizzie's mother, Andrew remarries. He marries a woman named Abby Durfee Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Emma and Lizzie don't seem to get along with Abby, their new stepmom.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical.
I think that's right.
Yeah. But I mean, they'll have a bonding moment together, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. I think like maybe.
Sort of.
Yeah. Like maybe one of them will like get hurt and the other one will help them. And then they'll be, you know, they'll like bond through tragedy or like bond
Gosh. Yeah. Do you know where this story's going?
I know.
Okay. You pieces together. Yeah. Okay. So even though I haven't said the first and last name together, you've kind of pieced it together.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Just checking. Lizzie did not call her mom. She did not call her Abby. She called her Mrs. Borden.
Mm.
Now, she was pretty sure that Abby had married her father for his wealth. Meanwhile, the Bordens live in Maid, an Irish immigrant named Bridget Sullivan, whom they called Maggie, would later testify that Lizzie and Emma rarely ate meals with their parents. So the relationship is a little frosty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Adding to the tension was the fact that Andrew started giving away houses and land to, quote, various branches of Abby's family.
Oh.
So.
Okay, yeah.
So it's hard not to be on Lizzie's side with all this, really. For example, Abby's sister received a house that Andrew just owned and I think used to rent out. And he said, hey, this is your sister's now.
He's very generous. Yeah, if that's been your whole life up until that point, sure. But
yeah. Very generous to everyone except his own children.
Right. Well, I'm sure that won't turn around and stab him in the back or anything.
In May of 1892, Andrew Borden killed a flock of pigeons in his barn with a hatchet.
A flock of pigeons?
Yeah.
How long does this take? Honestly,
I'm just impressed. I don't endorse. It has
nothing to do with the story, but no. I just wanted to pass along this heroic feat of this man.
This guy took a hatchet, killed a flock of pigeons. Amazing. Uh-huh. Amazing stuff. He apparently slaughtered the pigeons because their very presence was encouraging local children to come hunt them.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
And so he said, no, you don't get to kill the pigeons. I kill the pigeons. I don't know. It's the idea of killing even one pigeon with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
They fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They move in three dimensions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. So this made Lizzie real mad because she liked the pigeons a lot. Mm-hmm. And she had recently built them a roost, which is probably why they stuck around in the in the barn. And just for some context here, at this point, Lizzie is 32 years old.
Oh, so we fast forward a little bit. Okay.
She's a grown-ass woman. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she's old. Later that same year, there was a big family argument, and Lizzie and Emma both took extended vacations in New Bedford, Massachusetts. So they need some space.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Time alone. If I don't get out of this house, I am going to put an axe in your fucking skull, so I have to leave.
Well, yeah, and I guess I didn't realize up until this point that like they're all still living with the dad.
Yeah, it seems like...
Even though the dad owns property that he's willing to give away to other people.
Yeah.
Still wants the daughters to live with him.
There's probably more to unpack here.
Yeah.
Than our time allows.
Yeah. Well, this is also kind of the time period of, you know, you don't move out on your own if you're a woman. You marry someone and
right, you know, and then you become their property, and
right, exactly,
they put you on a shelf in their house, and that's where you stay.
Yeah. Your dad gets three goats from it, and everything's kosher.
Yeah. So they took an extended vacation. When they eventually returned home, they stayed at a local boarding house for 4 days before finally returning to their father's house. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, at least, that I think they only went back to the house because Andrew and Abby had suddenly become violently ill. Here's a quote from one of the books. A family friend later speculated that mutton left on the stove to use in meals over several days was the cause.
Oh, no. You got to refrigerate that stuff. You
got to put that mutton on ice. Mm-hmm.
You can't just leave mutton out.
Mutton? Absolutely not. Abby, however, thought that's ridiculous because who ever heard of old meat hurting anyone? her thesis here was her theory was that someone in town must be poisoning them because they hated Andrew so much.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Which does seem to make sense. And also, if that's kind of your going theory for why your husband is sick, that's not a good marriage. I was gonna put a flag in the ground. That's not a good marriage, I think. If someone was gonna poison either you or Amy, who do you think they would poison first?
Oh, me, definitely. Yeah.
You think so?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Amy, you just hang out in the basement a lot though.
Amy, well, yeah, but like Amy can do lots of like beneficial things. She can like cook. She's nice.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of things.
That's true.
Those two things mostly.
Okay. Okay. Now the people who benefit most from that are your children. Are you worried that your children have poisoned you? In this scenario?
No, sounds
like maybe
no
children have made a choice.
No, I think that mutton was still fine. It was
they wouldn't have no Gloria would not have put that on my plate if it was not safe.
No, they took my favorite mutton, they put it up in the cabinet like I asked them to. And this morning for breakfast I just got the dish down.
Just put it in the hot sun for a little while.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Nuked there for about 25 seconds on high and whew.
Speaking of children's favorite parent, so Maple is both girls are and have always been going through a huge like mom phase. Like they like Aaron a lot more than they like me.
Right, of course.
Which, you know, certainly makes a lot of sense to us and probably to everyone who's ever listened to this podcast. And so the other night I was kind of joking around with Maple and I was like, Maple, who's your favorite parent? And she of course said, Mommy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, now I've got her. Cause then I said, all right, but who's your favorite daddy? And she said, Paul, who is the provost of my college. And I said, all right, well, fuck, I'm leaving. Well played, Maple. Mm-hmm. Well played. Oh man. She cuts deep that one. Anyway, so whatever the reason, they're sick. Probably the mutton, probably not poison. And actually later they will, there will be some autopsies done that suggested there's no poison in their system. So definitely just shouldn't fucking eat old warm meat. On the morning then of August 3rd of 1892, that same year, John Vinicum Morse came for a visit. Morse was Andrew's, I guess, former brother-in-law.
Okay.
It was his first wife's brother.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, Lizzie Nema's dead mom's brother. Now, he comes for a stay for a few days, and the next morning, August 4th, Andrew and Abby and Morse, the uncle, and Maggie, the housekeeper, the four of them sit down to breakfast. After breakfast, at about 8:48 a.m.,
ooh, never good.
It's such a specific
detail. Never, ever good.
This is now a true crime podcast. It's not good at all. 8:48 a.m., Morse leaves to go buy a pair of oxen.
Mm-hmm.
Normal stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Andrew then goes for a walk at 9:03. Leaves the house for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
With the men gone, Abby goes upstairs to clean the guest room. Now, Morse was not staying in the guest room. He was actually staying in the attic. So we're not sure exactly why Abby was cleaning it, but maybe it was just part of her routine. While she was in that room, she was attacked by someone with a hatchet.
Mm.
She was first hit on the side of the head, just above the ear. And then she falls face first onto the floor. Then her attacker delivers 17 more direct hits to the back of her head.
Oh.
Now, unfortunately, Abby did die from that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Would you like to see a photo?
No, I would not.
I have a link.
I'm good. I think I'm fine. I'm okay.
Okay. If you change your mind, we can always scroll back up.
I appreciate the option. I really do. Yep. I'm good. I'm totally fine.
I put here, if yes, link. so I thought you might turn that off or down.
It's a shame it's happened like the 1800s, because nowadays I'm sure they could, you know, call the ambulance, you know, I'll patch you right back up.
Oh, yeah, stitch her up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put some Band-Aids on there.
Mm-hmm. That that glue stitches stuff they put on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Should be back to work in an hour.
Staple that.
Mm-hmm.
God, I tell you, when I was in, I probably told you this, when I was in, we lived in St. Louis, our basement, as you know, because you were there several times, is very, very low ceiling basement. Right. And I'm a very tall human person.
Right. Yeah. It seemed like an odd fit, but.
Yeah. It wasn't great. In hindsight, it wasn't great. And one night I was in the basement and I don't know why, I stood up really quickly and I hit my head on, there was like an old rusty like wing nut.
Oh, cool.
That was holding up part of the venting.
Right. Sure.
And it sliced right into my head and I had to go to the emergency. And you know, as you, I'm sure, also know, head wounds. That's my first head wound ever. Gosh, it bleeds.
It does.
Bleeds so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Your body puts all the blood vessels in your head.
Oh, my God. All it's all them. There. I don't know why. I'm not using it. But so much blood. And so, like, I hit it, and I was like, what happened? I touch my head, and my hand comes back just covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel, like, running down my head. Mm-hmm. And that was worse than the pain of it. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And so then Erin came out of, and she's like, what happened? And the look on her face was absolute horror. And I was like, I think this is death. This is how this is what it means to die. And so we went to the emergency room and then they fixed it right up with some staples. They took a medical staple gun and they stapled my head shut.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like that.
Well,
and, I just wanted everyone to know that I went through staples in the head. And then like a few weeks later, they took the staples out and they used something that looked very much like a staple,
like a regular Office staple Depot, remover.
Like a staple remover. Like, let's take those out. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But yes, if they had that technology, if they had staplers in 1860, whatever.
She might still be around.
Might still be here with us today. Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, so you want to see the photo or no?
No, I'm good.
Still no?
Still no.
All right. Well, again, change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's one link away. Now, Andrew returned around 10:30. Nice long walk.
Mm-hmm.
About an hour and a half. And his key won't unlock the front door.
Okay.
So he calls for help.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie meets him at the front door. Now, no one knows what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows yet that Abby has been hatcheted to death, even though it's been over an hour. Maggie meets him at the front door. She's like, hey, the door's jammed. And he's like, yeah, I fucking know. Why do you think I called you? And so they force it open. And then Maggie would later testify that as she worked to open the door, she heard Lizzie laughing from the top of the stairs.
Mm.
Now, we should say for the record, Lizzie denied ever being up there. So,
who can why would I lie? Why would I lie about that?
There's no reason. There's no reason why I would lie. None. None. So once they got the door open, Maggie goes up to her bedroom, which is on the third floor, which had a different set of stairs.
Okay.
So she doesn't go past the second floor. She's on the third floor where she said she rested until just after 11 o'clock when she heard Lizzie shout, "Maggie, come quick. Father's dead. Somebody came in and killed him."
Oh. Okay.
Any questions so far?
No, I mean, it's, yeah, it seems like a big mystery, really.
It's a bad day. It's a bad day for the Borden house.
Yeah.
So Maggie runs downstairs. She finds Lizzie in the room with Andrew, and Andrew is slumped over on a couch in the downstairs sitting room. Mm-hmm. He has been struck 10 or 11 times with a hatchet.
Oh, one of them may have been like a pre-existing hatchet injury.
It's possible. So we're not really sure. This one was pretty scarred over, but, you know. We don't want to discount it necessarily. The fact that they don't know how many times he was hit with a hatchet, that's actually, we'll later learn that the investigation of this was, it's not great. Not a textbook case. Now, one of Andrew's eyes had been split cleanly in two, which does suggest he was asleep when he was attacked. Now, the family's physician, Dr. Bowen, he rushes over from his house across the street. Which I think is interesting because what is even the point of having your physician live across the street if they're going to be too late to save your life?
But he's the mortician. Like, who else are you going to call? So, I mean, I guess his partner. True. I guess you could call his partner. Be like, hey. Yeah,
call Army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Bowen comes in and he sees Andrew and he immediately pronounces him dead
from the parlor. Just like, I can see from here.
I'm just face against the glass from the outside. Yep. Looking through the window. He's dead. I have a photo of Andrew. Would you like to see?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
No, you know, I put him in the show notes so other people can partake and enjoy.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm good. Good.
Okay. Now I looked at these. And I'm still fine.
But you're a sicko, so...
What? That's not a nice thing to say. But it may explain why Maple likes Paul more than me. I will say this, in defense of the photos, it's like 1800s photography, so you really can't see anything. Now, do you want to see the photo?
Is everyone like standing around him with like no smiles at all on their faces? That's like that kind of 1800s photo.
No, these are both solo shots. These are portraits. Okay. I would say,
are they sepia? Are they sepia tone?
Oh yeah,
sepia tone forensic photos.
Yeah.
All right, I'm becoming more interested.
You want to see?
Yeah, I'll do one.
Okay, wait, you pick one. You pick dealer's choice.
I'll pick the first one.
I'm not sure that's the right choice, but here you go. Oh, it's the right choice.
Yeah.
Let's see. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there's not much left. Yeah, that's fair.
It's not, this is a good angle though. Yeah. Like you want the foot angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the head on at this point. So, anyway.
Okay.
The other one is similar.
Okay.
So, anyway. Where are we here? Do. So Andrew, no. He's dead. So they all at that point they all go to the second floor to look for Abby. But still no one knows that she's dead.
Right.
And this is when they find her body. Now, as I did previously mention, she is dead.
Mm-hmm.
From the
hatchet.
Blows. Hatchet to the back of the head. Yes. So they call the police, and the police really bungled this whole thing. So this is a kind of a shortened version of what happened. They interview everyone. Mm-hmm. They note that Lizzie gave contradictory answers, which is not great.
Yeah.
And she was acting weird. But even so, they didn't investigate her room.
Okay. At least
not carefully.
Right.
And they didn't even take notes on things like what she was wearing or if there were blood stains on her dress. So they're doing almost no police work at this point. And later during the murder trial, different officers would remember details differently because no one had written anything down. Now, they did find some hatchets in the basement, mm-hmm. and it's quite a few of them, actually. And I don't know why you would need more than one hatchet.
Yeah, like at that's. All.
I mean, you're really asking for trouble then. One of the hatchets had a handle that had been broken, and it looked like it had been recently used. That hatchet had sawdust on the blade that looked like it had been sprinkled on top to try to make it look like it was covered in dust like the other hatchets were.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a criminal mastermind doing this here. But the police did not take the hatchet into evidence for mm-hmm. 4 days. Mm-hmm. By the time they decided, oh yeah, we should go get that hatchet. It had been picked over by like 100 cops and was totally useless. So they did a great job. Mm-hmm. Lizzie's the main suspect.
Okay.
Though it's worth noting, other people's stories were contradictory as well. So Maggie, the maid, for instance, she told the cops that she had helped Andrew take his boots off and put on his house slippers before she went upstairs. But that's not true, because you would know if you had the guts to look at the photo. Mm. He died with his boots on.
Mm. Well.
So, you know, whatever. Anyway, Lizzie's put on trial, and there's a lot. If you want to go read about it, there's lots of books. All I'll say is, in the end, she is found not guilty.
Yeah. Good for her. Good for her.
She's the OJ of her time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If the hatchet don't fit.
You must have quit. Speaking of, as you say that, I'm having visions of them putting like a hatchet into the wound on the head and be like, I don't know, it's not quite right. One detail I left out of the notes here is that, I don't know, maybe this is even still common, I have no idea, but when they did the autopsies of these two bodies, one of the things they did was remove the head.
Okay.
And then they brought the heads to the courtroom.
I don't think that's real
common. So that part I think is not normal. I should be more clear. That's true. I don't know why you would remove a head to autopsy, but maybe, you know, whatever. Mm. But they brought the heads to the courtroom, and apparently one of the things that worked in Lizzie's favor is that when they unveiled the heads, she passed out, which seems to me a very reasonable thing to do when presented with the severed head of your father. anyway, so she's found guilty. No, sorry, she's found not guilty. Mm-hmm. And no one has ever found guilty in the case of Andrew and Abby Borden.
It's a mystery to us all.
We'll never know. Mm-hmm. I will say there is some convincing arguments about the actual killer potentially being Morse, Lizzie's uncle.
Mm.
There was some like property stuff going on and some money stuff going on, which who knows? But probably Lizzie.
Yeah,
I think is probably
better story probably, anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Got a great nursery rhyme out of it. So Lizzie and her sister Emma, now they move out of the house. They don't live there anymore, and they move into a new place in a really fancy neighborhood, which they can afford because they are now really rich.
Mm-hmm.
They're even wealthier than you might imagine, because technically speaking, Abby died first, right? Mm-hmm. And so Abby's entire estate passed to Andrew for like 20 minutes. And then when Andrew died, that whole, his estate,
right,
including Abby's, passed to Emma and Lizzie.
Ah.
So they definitely killed them in the right order, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. So they have both the estate money. Mm-hmm. They did pay off some of that to lawsuits to Abby's family, to settle lawsuits, but they still,
she was found guilty in civil court for the hatching, but
yeah. And then she wrote a book about, if I had hatcheted. Yeah. So they did lose something, but they've got plenty of money. They have in this new house, in this fancy neighborhood, they have live-in maids, they have a housekeeper, and they have a coachman, and they named their new home Maplecroft.
Oh, okay. After Laura Croft, or?
I think so. Yeah. I hate that that's also the first joke that came to my mind when I first read that. Now, this is too stupid to write down, but I'm glad you brought it up.
I didn't write anything down, so it's easy.
Oh, man. Tomb Raider was... they're probably still Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, I bet.
Out there. Man, Tomb Raider, that was a blast. Speaking of games, this is totally off the topic, but how about you can get one of the tracks from Dookie now as a Game Boy?
Oh my cartridge? Gosh, yes. Yeah.
I am so excited you sent me this website. Do you want to tell our listeners so they can benefit from the knowledge that you've shared with me?
Oh, this year, I think, is the 30th anniversary of Green Day's Dookie album, one of the greatest rock albums of all time. And they are, instead of remastering it, they are demastering it. They are releasing every song from Dookie individually, downgraded onto different forms of audio media, including
different very difficult to access forms of media,
including a player piano reel, a Teddy Ruxpin doll, a Game Boy cartridge, a Billy Bass wall hanging.
There's a wax cylinder.
There's a wax cylinder.
Anyone with a 1700s era phonograph.
So if anybody's interested, just go on to the onto their website and you can register to win the right to purchase any one of those things.
I will say they're not nearly as expensive as I expected them to be. So pretty great. I was thinking that too. One of the things that occurred to me after I spent like an hour just listening to every single track on that website. Our 13th episode of this podcast vanished from the internet at some point.
Really?
And it is no longer there. So if you go and you scroll back through, is this a ghost? You'll go 10, 11, 12, 14. The 13th episode is just gone. And I just wonder, like, wouldn't it be something if someday we just, you know, you find like a speak and spell at a flea market, just push a button and you hear our 13th episode.
The lost episode.
Lost episode. Makes you think. Makes you wonder. Makes you interested to learn more.
I don't know.
Anyway, so Lizzie is not popular in Fall River, Massachusetts.
No.
She is acquitted, but everyone is pretty sure that she murdered her parents.
She can't chop wood in peace. She can't. It's really a big deal.
And that's a shame because she was so good at it. She could take an axe with one hand blindfolded and just really chop the shit out of it.
She was like Gallagher with that thing. It was insane.
Just wood blood everywhere. Yeah, it was weird. I didn't even know that wood could bleed, but she made it happen. She's not popular there, but she just kept on living there until her natural death years later at the age of 66.
Wow.
She died on June 1st, 1927 of pneumonia. Her sister Emma died just a couple months later, and they are buried side by side in Oak Grove Cemetery.
Do they also have terrible headstones?
Oh, let's see. That's a good question. We probably looked that up. They probably have just gigantic headstones just despite their dead father, who someone murdered, but we're not sure who. Oh, yep. I was right. Here is Lizzie's. Let me pull this up. There we go. Hit this nail right on the head.
That is the most fuck you tombstone I've ever seen.
That is ostentatious for sure.
Remember how you buried mom under a cinder block? Well, mine is going to be an obelisk. So
can we find Andrew Borden's? Let's check and see. Can we find Andrew Borden's gravestone?
That might that said AJ Borden on it, didn't it?
I think we got this. I think it's his one. No,
the
two.
That is his right there.
I wonder if these are. I don't know. Now it's confusing. I don't know. Maybe these are little stones around the big one. Anyway, this has become less interesting. So, all right. At the time of her death, Lizzie was worth over $250,000, which today would be about $6 million. Now, as you can probably imagine, the house where the Bordens were murdered, which is now referred to as the Lizzie Borden house, is super haunted. The ghosts of both Andrew and Abby haunt the house. Abby can be seen wandering the house very sadly.
Oh.
I think she did not want to be murdered that day.
Well, shouldn't have been such a bitch then.
Well, I don't know if she was really, actually.
Yeah.
So you've just cast some aspersions on her, mm-hmm. and I don't think the woke mob is going to like that very much.
Well, I mean, what's she going to do about it? That's the thing.
That's true.
She needs about 150 staples in the back of her head. She ain't going anywhere.
They have accidentally stapled her to the carpet
yeah.
in the house, and her ghost is stuck there forever. Andrew also is sometimes seen in the house. He is seen lying dead on the couch.
Oh, I mean, that could just be him.
Yeah, they just never quite got around to moving it. He also sometimes is seen walking around the house with his body covered in hatchet wounds.
Oh. Just like desperate trying to find that first aid kit. Just
anybody. It does feel nice on hot summer days. Lots of ventilation. Uh-huh. It's going to be grateful. Lizzie haunts the house too, of course. She doesn't seem to like it when she sees people, and she can get pretty hostile toward them. That was kind of her thing, I guess, mm-hmm. being pretty hostile. There are also two children who haunt the house.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, and these are the children of Lizzie Borden's great-uncle, Landwick Borden. Now, Landwick's second wife, Eliza, had three children in very, very rapid succession. And in hindsight, it seems pretty clear that she was suffering probably from some crippling postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. Eliza drowned two of her three children in the cistern in the basement of the house.
Ooh.
Before going upstairs to take her own life, which is not what you want to hear. And now those two children are sometimes seen running through the cellar, and you can often hear them laughing from inside the well.
Oh,
is the worst. Today, the Lizzie Borden house is a museum and bed and breakfast. So... Never let a good ghost go to waste. That's what I always say. Man. And you can go check it out if you want. Mm-hmm. Any questions, Patrick?
No, I'm pretty excited. I was kind of waiting for us to get to the Lizzie Borden story. That's one of my faves. Nice. I like a woman that takes takes matters in her own hands.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. You gonna let Amy listen to this one? Because
she knows.
She knows how to take.
We talk about Lizzie Borden probably more than we should.
So. But does she talk about how she's been inspired by Lizzie Borden to take matters into her own hands?
It's a lot of really positive speech. A surprising amount.
And she does a lot of like affirming, like I feel like I should bury a hatchet in your skull sometimes. Well, that's great. It sounds really healthy and mm-hmm. you guys are doing great and I aspire to that. What else? You okay? You gonna throw up?
No, I'm good.
Oh, I was gonna tell you, I had hiccups the other day and I told myself mm-hmm. out loud mm-hmm. that I'm not a fish. Mm-hmm. And I did not hiccup again.
I'm serious.
So I'm telling you. I'm not willing to give this real credence yet, but I am saying after one test, mm-hmm. it did work. And I hate that it worked, but it did work.
I can't wait for the next baseball road trip. I can't wait for it. Someone get hiccups. How do you
induce hiccups in someone?
Yeah.
Gotta try it out. All right. Well, I think then that is our episode for this week. Don't forget to check out Ghost Plus if you want. I know we're promoting it hard and heavy these days, but it really is fun, and we really think you will like it. Mm-hmm. Patrick, tell people how fun it is.
It's great. Like, my kids get to eat then. Clayton's kids get to eat better food, than the normal caviar. They get like higher shelf stuff.
Really nice
beluga.
Caviar.
They go up to beluga.
Yeah. Begging for the beluga, and mm-hmm. we haven't been able to do it. And Patrick's kids have been eating rocks, and mm-hmm. It's the same.
And we're almost out of them. So
yeah. Now we do have a store of the bad caviar still, right. And we just like we can subsist, but
yeah.
Ugh. Oh, that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's really go check it out. And this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? All the notes this week were taken by me. Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. And our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I'll just tell you, I don't think it's a good idea to kill your parents with a hatchet. I really don't think it's a good idea. I'm gonna put the stamp on that. And please don't, because if you do, you might end up on the next episode of Is This a Ghost?